This evening we continue in our series through the book of 1 John, which we started a few weeks ago. And this evening we'll be reading chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Well, let us hear the word of the Lord. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Please have your Bible open at that passage that we read just a few moments ago. As a Christian, you are in danger. You are in serious danger, in danger of being deceived, in danger of being led astray by false teaching. That's the danger that John warns his readers about here in this section, the danger of being deceived by antichrists, by anti-Christian teaching. That's what he says in verse 18, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. Who are these antichrists that John is speaking about? Well, we're told in verse 19 that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. In other words, the antichrists, in the context of 1 John, are the false teachers. Remember, these are the men that were once members of the churches to whom John is writing, but have since left the fellowship of the churches and are now troubling the believers to whom John is writing. And so he writes, as I've reminded you, I think, every week, he writes in order to assure them. He writes in verse 13 of chapter 5 that he writes these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants them to be sure that they are Christians, sure that they have eternal life, because they are being troubled by these false teachers who here he calls antichrists. They weren't the antichrist, as he says, that antichrist is coming. It's a big topic, so I won't get into it this evening. Seems to me from what scripture says that some figure Some person will appear right at the end of history in whom will be concentrated, as it were, evil and sin. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, as Paul calls him in 2 Thessalonians. But here, John is speaking about Antichrists. These men who were once members of the church, but who have since left the church. And just ponder upon that for a moment. These were once, maybe still were, professing Christians. People had been baptized who took the Lord's Supper. And John now says that because they have left the fellowship of these churches to whom he writes, and because they are spouting heresy, they are antichrists. And what is it that they do? We're told in verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. That's what they try to do. Maybe not consciously. They're probably not waking up in the morning thinking, let me go out and deceive these believers. But that is what they are doing. That is the inspired interpretation that John gives to their activity. They are trying to deceive the believers. And when is it that they're doing this? In the last hour, as he says in verse 18. In the last hour. A technical term meaning that time between the two comings of Christ, his first and his second coming. The last days, as it's elsewhere called in Scripture. That is when these antichrists are seeking to deceive believers in the last hour, in the time between Christ's first coming, especially the time following his resurrection and Pentecost, and his return, his second coming. And so these churches to whom John writes are in serious danger from these antichrists who are trying to deceive them, trying to lead them astray, trying to take them away from Christ, from true apostolic teaching, true apostolic Christianity. And whilst the specific context today is very different for us, the general context isn't. We today are living in the last hour just as much as the believers to whom John was writing were living in the last hour. We are living in the last hour, the final days, the time when antichrists are at work. And so we too, you this evening, face the danger of being deceived by antichrists, by anti-Christian teaching. And sometimes that teaching will occur in the church. Again, remember, these were men who were once in the church and who probably still think of themselves as Christians or as followers of Christ. Anti-Christian teaching can take place in the church just as much as outside the church. And we need to be on our guard against it. You need to be on your guard against being deceived by antichrists. So how do we do that? Well, John gives us three ways in this passage this evening, three ways in which we protect ourselves against being deceived and led astray by antichrists. The first one is this: you need to identify the antichrists. You need to identify anti-Christian teaching. Look at what he says in verses 22 and 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Notice here that the liar and the Antichrist are synonymous terms. Who is the liar? Who is the Antichrist? The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. The one who denies the Father and the Son. In other words, whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah, God's Son come in the flesh, whose death, and only his death, atones for man's sin, whoever denies those things, according to John, is an antichrist, is literally against Christ and his teaching, his truth. Whoever denies the Trinity is an antichrist, denying the Father and the Son, and as we know in the fullness of Revelation, the Spirit also is God. Whoever denies the Trinity is, according to John, an antichrist. To deny these fundamental truths means that you are a liar. John does not pull his punches, does he? The Bible is probably the most politically incorrect book in the world. It doesn't pull its punches. It tells it as it is. John says you are a liar, a deceiver, an antichrist, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, if you deny the Trinity. This is what John is saying of those who have left the churches because of what they are teaching, you see, because of their denial that Jesus is the Christ, their denial that Jesus is God's eternal Son. They are showing themselves to be deceivers, liars, antichrists. So, to bring it home to you, if someone comes knocking on your door and they try to convince you of their religion, ask them two questions. Two questions. One, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Two, do you believe that Jesus is the Father's eternal Son? Ask them those two questions. And if the answer is no to either or to both of those two questions, then you have the sanction of Scripture to call such people antichrists, liars, deceivers. Now, you might not want to call them that to their face. You need to judge the situation. Maybe you would. I mean, that's what they are. They themselves have been deceived by the arch liar, Satan himself, and they are now spreading lies and deceptions. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, followers of Judaism, they are antichrists. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Unitarians, liberal Christians, so-called, they are antichrists. In fact, it seems to me the closest parallel between the false teachers that John is writing against in our world today are those who are liberal Christians. And of course, there's no such thing as liberal Christianity. It's an entirely different religion. Just read what J. Gresham Machen writes in his book, Christianity and Liberalism. If you haven't read that book, you must read it. There he clearly shows, convincingly, compellingly, that liberalism is an entirely different religion. It's not Christianity. But they present themselves as Christians whilst denying the deity of the Son, whilst denying the bodily resurrection of Christ, whilst denying the virgin birth, whilst denying penal substitutionary atonement and all the rest of it. They are antichrists, and they are in the church, in a lot of churches. They might be very, very nice people. Usually they are. They're usually very nice people, perhaps much nicer than us. They might be extremely sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. They are deceivers, they are liars, they are antichrists. Why? Because they deny that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, come in the flesh. And notice with me, notice how everything depends upon what a person believes about Jesus Christ. That's the crux of the matter. That's the litmus test. What do you believe about Jesus? That's what it comes down to. Everything revolves around him. Everything. And that is how you identify an antichrist. You ask him, you ask her, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Christ? Do you believe that he is the eternal Son of the Father? Let me ask you this evening, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Messiah, sent by him to redeem lost sinners? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, very God of very God, as well as truly man? Do you believe that? I hope so. I hope so, because if not, then as far as the Bible is concerned, you are an antichrist. So the first thing that we must do to protect ourselves against being deceived by Antichrist is to identify them. And the second thing is, we must let the gospel abide in us. Let the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the pure, wholesome truth of the gospel abide in you. John, in verse 21, encourages his readers by assuring them that they know the truth. That's what he says. I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and you know that no lie is of the truth. You know this, he says. And then he goes on in verse 24 to say, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Let the gospel, that's what they heard from the beginning, that's what John is referring to there. Let the gospel, that message that I brought to you, abide in you. Abide, it's one of John's favorite words. He uses it quite a lot in his gospel as well. What does he mean by it? I think David Jackman gives a good definition when he says, abide means to take up a permanent address or to make a settled home. You abide in your abode, don't you? It means to take up a permanent address. In other words, make sure, John is saying, make sure that the gospel message has taken up permanent residence in your heart. Make sure that the message that Jesus is the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, the message that Jesus did die for the sins of his people and rose again in triumph over death, make sure that message has become settled in your heart. Jackman goes on to say, many of us modern Christians spend comparatively little time allowing the majestic truths of our faith to settle deeply into our consciousness. He's right, isn't he? Many, not all, but many of us modern Christians spend comparatively little time allowing the majestic truths of our faith to settle deeply into our consciousness. To let it abide in our heart. We spend a lot of time doing other things, good things quite often, necessary things. But we perhaps don't spend so much time dwelling on the character of God, dwelling on the person of Christ, dwelling upon his atoning death, dwelling upon his resurrection from the dead, dwelling upon the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. You know, if you want to be a good golf player, then you need to keep practicing your swing time and time and time again. Practice, practice, practice until it becomes a part of you. That's how you, so I'm told, get good at golf. And there's a sense in which you must think of the Christian life like that. Practice, practice, practice. Practice makes almost perfect in this life. Practice the Christian life until it becomes a part of you. How much time this past week have you spent watching TV or browsing the internet or reading a good book or tending to your garden or playing sport or going shopping? Now, some of these things you need to do. They're not in and of themselves bad things. You need to sleep. You need to eat. You need to go to work, all the rest of it. But have you spent any time this past week? And I ask myself this question as well. Have you spent any time meditating upon the hypostatic union? You should know what that means because Ian was your minister for 17 years or so. Have you spent any time this past week thinking about Jesus? That's basically what I'm saying. Have you spent any time thinking about your Savior? Friends, let the gospel abide in you. Let Christ abide. I've said that this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then you will be armed, you see, against the deceptions, the lies of the antichrists. If the word isn't abiding in you, then then you're exposed. You're vulnerable. You're prone to believing anything. Let the word abide in you, then you will abide, as it says, in the Son and in the Father, and you will experience in measure, at least now, that promise of eternal life. So, identify the Antichrist. Let the gospel, the message of the gospel, abide in you. And then thirdly and finally, remember that you have been anointed by the Holy One. That's what John says in verse 20. You, he says, have been anointed by the Holy One. And you all have knowledge, or perhaps better, you know all things. And then he goes on, verse 27 at the end, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Here, what John is saying is that you have been anointed by Jesus Christ, the Lord, the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One that John speaks of here. And he has anointed you, endowed you with the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing that you have received, maybe speaking particularly about being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now dwells in you. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your heart. The Holy Spirit's permanent address, in a sense, is your heart, the heart of every believer. And this anointing by Christ with the Spirit is, in many ways, your chief defense against being deceived. After all, the Holy Spirit is what? He's your teacher. Remember how Jesus promised his apostles before he went to the cross that he would give to them another comforter, counselor, however you translate it. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would lead them, he said, into all truth. And now one of those apostles, John, is telling his readers that they have been anointed with the same Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Jesus' promise in John 16 is particularly, of course, to the apostles. But we haven't received a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that we have been anointed with. And the implication is that he is your divine teacher. Just as much as he taught the apostles, so too he teaches us. He illuminates that which he first revealed, you see, to the apostles. That which was by them written down for us and became the completed canon of Scripture. And that's why John says, you have no need that anyone should teach you. You read that verse and you think, well, why are we paying this guy to be our minister? Or maybe you don't. But that's the way maybe some people think. But obviously John is not making an absolute statement here, is he? Because he himself is teaching them. He brought the gospel to them in the beginning and taught them. So don't absolutize a statement like this. No, in context, you see, John is speaking about the teaching of these antichrists that he is condemning so powerfully. And he is saying you don't need their teaching. They might be saying to you, you need a kind of secret knowledge or some extra teaching. And he is saying don't believe a word of it. Why? Because you have the best teacher that there is. You have all that you need already. And by him you know all things. Again, that's not an absolute statement. He's not saying you know literally everything. Only God knows everything. But what he's saying is you know all things pertaining to the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come in the flesh. Friends, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Your divine teacher, the best teacher of his inspired word. He sheds light upon the pages of Scripture that he himself inspired and caused to be written down by his apostles, you see. Yes, he uses instruments to communicate his teaching, preachers, Bible teachers, so on and so forth. But it is his teaching. It is his teaching. And you do not need any teaching that goes beyond what the Spirit teaches you from his word. Don't add anything. Don't take anything away. You have everything that you need here. And ask for the illumination. Ask for that Spirit of revelation, that the Spirit might open your eyes to understand better the riches that are contained in this word. You have, brothers and sisters, in the Spirit-inspired Bible, everything that you need for faith and life. So abide in his teaching, and thereby abide in God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You have been anointed with the Spirit, and he defends you as he teaches you your word. So yes, you are in danger. I don't want to kind of lessen the warning in any way. We need to take this seriously. You are in danger. I am in danger of being deceived. You know, let him who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. That's the kind of attitude that we should have as Christians. We are in danger, but I'm not scaremongering. I'm not intending to make you really afraid. Just simply to make you and myself alert to the danger that we might stand against it. How do you stay alert? How do you arm yourselves against anti-Christian teaching, against the Antichrist? You identify who they are. What do they say about Jesus Christ? Do they say that he is the Christ, the Eternal Son? You identify who they are. You let the gospel abide in you so that it becomes a part of you, so that you can identify that which is false. Sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced this, sometimes you just get a sense that something is wrong. You might not be able to articulate why, but you just get a whiff that something is not right about what someone might be teaching. And often that's because you've let the word of the gospel abide in you, and it just does not ring true. Let the gospel abide in you. And then remember and be comforted and encouraged by the fact that you have been anointed by the Holy One. You have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, who now is in you and who is your teacher and who will lead you into a deeper understanding of his word, the foundation that we stand upon. Children, it is the last hour, and there are many antichrists, many even in the church. But there is also a Christ who is reigning in heaven, and that Christ, by his Spirit, is reigning in your heart. And as John goes on to say later, he who is in you is greater, far greater, than all of the antichrists who are in the world. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would be on our guard against the deceptions of antichrists, against people both outside the church and those inside the church who spout anti-Christian teaching that does not accord with apostolic Christianity. Make us alert, we pray. Help us to identify that which is false and deceptive. Help us to let the gospel abide in us. And may we remember and be encouraged by the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed with the Spirit who teaches us and who does protect us. So Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we abide in you as you abide in us. In Jesus' name, amen.